Likely you've heard somebody at least some point say, if you are not the one who has said it, we live in modern times. And that's true. I don't know that there was ever anybody who did say we live in old times. I think everybody always thinks they live in modern times. But actually, it is interesting to me where we have read that at the very beginning of time, likely roughly 4,500 years before the Lord Jesus spoke, 4,500 years before, the word was given that a man shall leave his father and his mother, and he shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. You come all those years later, all the way to the Lord Jesus. At least they were written 1,500 years before the Lord Jesus. And you talk about changes in time. We're radically different in the days of the Lord Jesus to the life back then. But at the same time, the question comes up about divorce. Don't worry, not my subject today. But it's interesting that when that subject comes up, the Lord Jesus says, before we even discuss that, I want to go back and tell you that it is still in existence, God's plan. It is as relevant in a culture 4,500 years after the first time those words were spoken. It is still in effect that a man will leave his father and his mother, and he shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Then when you say, well, that's the Old Testament, Genesis. That's the transition time, the Lord Jesus. But we live in the New Testament, the epistle section. Again, it is repeated. It's as if God is stringing a line all through time. And what he is saying is, my plan for marriage does not change with changing times. And Paul writes to the Ephesians, where likely it was a very big twist on culture compared to the culture in Jerusalem or in Israel at the time of the Lord Jesus. And even with that change, he repeats it again, that a man will leave his father and his mother, cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So today, this afternoon, I want to speak for a few minutes and continue with the subject of oneness, but not look at the oneness of the church, which is his body. I want to look at the oneness of couples. They too shall be one flesh. Now, I think we all know that when people think of that, very often they think of the physical oneness, the physical union in marriage. But I want to suggest to you that there's a lot more involved with that, although that is included in the concept of oneness. So what the world says is, you know, actually, I heard a statistic the other day. I hope it was some mistaken poll or study that said that 60% of marriages in this country do not work out. They end up in divorce and separation. 60%. It used to be 50. Now all of a sudden it jumped 10%. Don't know why. So that's why many people are just saying practically, this whole idea of marriage doesn't work. So what we'll do is we're going to do it our way. And what we'll do is we'll start with oneness, physical oneness, and then we'll live together, and then we'll be able to figure out the rest of the relationship from there. And then if that all works out, then we'll finalize it in marriage. Everybody says, yeah, it sounds like a good idea. Makes sense to us. We're modern thinkers. But the Bible says that is the wrong way to go about it. So let me speak with you, to you first of all, about what you have in the pattern in Genesis chapter 2, 1 and 2, and I'll speak about leading up to oneness. What brings a couple together to truly experience oneness in their relationship? The first thing you have that our world does not take into consideration at all is you remember that God could have made, he could have made a man and a woman at the same time. He could have taken a rib of a giraffe and formed, you say, well, yeah, he could have. He could have used dirt, and he could have used a lot of things. But he didn't make them at the same time. First he made a man, and he spent time with that man alone. You remember, that's Genesis chapter 2, the first part. And then he put the man to sleep, and then he made the woman out of his rib. And when he made the woman, the Bible says that that woman was brought to the man by the Lord. The Lord brought her to the man. So before she ever spent time with a man as a couple, before they came to that, there was this, you can see them both the man and the woman. Before there will ever be real oneness in a couple, there must be communion with God. There must be spiritual communion with God. Personal relationship with God is going to contribute to the oneness in the marriage. And so people who are not saved are missing out on the very greatest possibility, the first ingredient to oneness in couples leading up to it. But the second thing you'll notice, as you kind of imply it from the story, is that this couple, before they come to the statement about oneness, there was obviously going to be communication. And you can tell that when you come to chapter 3. You recall that when the serpent came and he tried to deceive Eve, and he was successful, and he talked about, has God didn't say this? She never said, what are you talking about? God never told, what do you mean we can't? What are you talking about? No, she knew exactly what he was talking about. And yet when God told Adam about the prohibited fruit from that tree, she wasn't around. How did she know that? Because when you're going to have oneness, you not only have to have personal communion with God, you have to have communication between the couple. Communication. That's what God's building into it. And so if you and I shortchange our personal spiritual lives with God, we will impact the level of oneness in our marriage. So there are single people here today, and you're saying, maybe this is the year. Hickory 2019, forever remembered when I laid eyes upon her. I've been waiting. Can I just suggest to you that God wasn't waiting? He's been actually working on you to prepare you for her. Your personal relationship with God. He is preparing you and building you so that you will one day, and he is building in her, and vice versa. Spiritual relationship. And so when you meet, you sign the deal. No. God said there's going to be communication. Communication. The key. But not only that. You'll notice that what he says in Genesis chapter 1, we didn't read it, but if you have read there, it is interesting the description that God gives when he talks about the creation of man. Let us make man in our image. And God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth, to them. You see what it's going to be now? Communion with God, first and foremost. Communication with each other. Problems with communication, we are going to shortchange oneness in a couple's relationship. Number 3, cooperation. You're going to have to work on this. You have to work together. Yes, to fill the earth, replenish the earth, but also the dominion. I'm not sure what all that entails and how they were going to work that out. They didn't have much time to do it. They didn't carry out their mission. But the intent was that they could work together in the purposes of God. What do you have when you come to the New Testament, young people? Oh, you say, I know what it says. It says, don't be unequally yoked with young unbelievers. That's part of the reason why. Because there's no communion with God yet. And it will limit what you can communicate about. All the spiritual thing you can't communicate. You can't connect. But you as a young person who's saved are involved in the work of God. Whatever that may be at your local level. Whatever you can do. Trying to serve God. And they don't have any care about that. They're not interested and they can't get involved. You see where the problem is. And that's why the Bible goes even a further step than that. And it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that they should marry. You should marry in the Lord. That is where there's that cooperation, that involvement in the things of God. And when we are involved and working together, you see how that works? Communion with God before you ever get the oneness at the end. Before you get there, God has said, I'm going to build this feature into it. Communion with God, communication between the couple, and now cooperation as they work together. But then you'll notice another characteristic. And that is, you'll notice that when it came to the moment of the first marriage, there was Adam and Eve, God. It's a very big wedding ceremony, very fancy. It's the only place, couple that I know that can actually say they got married in paradise. And that's where they started their relationship. Don't miss it. The Lord presided over that. There was a commitment, a commitment. What happens? Adam speaks, and he looks at her, and he says to her, he speaks about her. The Lord presented her, brought her unto the man, and Adam said, this sounds so romantic, doesn't it? Bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. You can just see her heart melting, can't you? The stars forming in her eyes. Try it, brother. Maybe that's what... Maybe you shouldn't try. Adam is appreciating something here. God has brought about a match. God is building one, he's building towards oneness here. And it says very clearly there, that's at that point. The next thing that is said, therefore, when there is this kind of coming together, brought together by God, that is when you have the commitment that is introduced. And so the next characteristic before you get to oneness, the next ingredient is commitment. Communion, communication, collaboration or cooperation, and commitment. Now our world says, well, you don't need them. What's just a piece of paper? No, it's not a piece of paper. It is something that the God of heaven and earth, he is involved in it. He is taking note of it, and it is registered before God. It is that serious. But then it says as well, it says, there's no mention of physical union here. You don't get that actually till chapter 4. But you will notice as well, it does say they were naked and not ashamed. I simply draw a lesson from that. You understand what I'm speaking, who I'm speaking to, don't you? I think some of the married people are saying, yeah, speak to all those young people so that they have good men. Is it possible that there's children here and they're saying, they're saved and they're praying, God, reach my parents. If you're building towards oneness about to get married, or if we want to enjoy oneness as a couple, a lot of times we have to go back and start all over. Personal relationship with God, communication with one another, commitment while working together, cooperation, commitment to one another. That closeness and that comfort together, it is after all of that that a physical union is mentioned. Can you see why our world, 60%? I'm amazed that there are 40% that are surviving. You know why? Because they're not following the Word of God. If we follow, I always just look at it this way, it's all leading up to physical union. If you want to look at it that way, the world takes that pyramid and then takes it right upside down. And they say, we're going to start with physical union and try and work out the rest. It'll never happen. Never happen. Because God's plan is still in existence today. Oneness, unity, drawing close together. And whenever there is a difficult in the cases of marriage, whether it's David and Michael, or whether it's the couple we heard about on Friday night, or last night, you see, when all those you can go back and you can see where the problem is. They are missing out on the oneness because of one of these factors. Leading up to oneness. But I want you to think about the leaving in oneness. Because it does say that a man shall leave his father and mother. When it says leave, it's actually a verb and it has a preposition attached to it to try and make it more intensive, more, it is deeper. And so, if you will, it's a word that is used when The Lord Jesus, he left Nazareth and he went down to live in Capernaum. It was a change of geography. He left it. It was very clear where he was now moving. Aquila and Priscilla, Paul, it says he left them. They left. It's very clear. It's very demarcated. Moses says, it says, by faith, Moses, he forsook Egypt. Now, he wasn't just kind of, you know, Monday through Friday in Egypt and then Saturday and Sunday over with the children of Israel. No, no, no. When he left it, he left it. It was very clear. So now, this leaving. He says, therefore shall a man leave his brothers and sisters. No. Leave his grandma and grandpa. Yes. No. Leave his father and his mother. Why? Remember, the Lord Jesus said, I want to talk to you about discipleship. And he said, the greatest cost you may have to pay is... He actually used the word hate once. He spoke about leaving. In other words, you can't mix these things. There has to be a cutting. Now, you still honor your father and your mother. But that relationship, it is indicative of all other relationships. There will be no human relationship like this new one. Leaving is required in oneness. Leaving behind. Now, sometimes, it's not just in Mexico, I don't think, but we have a word, at least a word I learned when I was in Mexico. I think if you don't speak Spanish, you can probably understand it. It's the word mamitis. Now, you do speak Spanish, don't you? Look, it's very hard sometimes, especially if a man has been close to his parents, a girl's been close to her parents. That can be very hard. Especially if there's geographical distance involved. Especially if there's no geographical distance involved. It can be difficult. And it can be difficult for parents. After all. For 20, what's the age of marriage now? For 21 years of life, I have... You have... been under my responsibility before God. And all of a sudden, you walk, what? You expect me suddenly to stop? No, God expects me to stop. Hard as it is, it's a challenge. But you can see here, God is saying, this new entity, this new unit that is going to be formed, a man will leave. There will be a clear demarcation. But then I want you to notice the leadership in oneness. Leadership in oneness. I remember thinking about this when I was younger, and I thought, I don't want to tell God he's unfair, but it just seems to me like he could have at least said, you know, that when a man, therefore let a man and his wife leave their father and their mother, fathers and mothers, respectively, or something, you know. He could say it more eloquently than I could, but there's got to be a way to, it seemed to me like, kind of sounds like the woman gets off the hook, that she can keep in touch with her mother and I got to leave my dad. That just doesn't seem... Now, you got to understand. What God is saying here is, Adam, I have made you the leader of the creation. Now I want you to be a leader in your relationship. Of course, a woman is going to follow his leadership here in this plan. Leadership will be that he will leave his father and his mother, and he would cleave unto his wife. There's going to be a new relationship formed, a new entity before God, and he will take the leadership in it. And that leadership will be that he will have no other than her, and she will have no one else than him. That's why, could I just speak for a moment and remind some of our single sisters here today? They say that Modern young men, they say. I don't know who that is. So that way I can quote them and not have any. I have heard it said that modern young men are poor leaders. How interesting if that is the honest complaint of women, that we are now living in the culture where women are asking men out. On the one hand, we want control to be able to have, you know, come on. On the other hand, the complaint. You see, it's a violation of what God is saying. If a man can't lead in the beginning of a relationship, how will he ever become the head of his home the way God intends it? And so we need to pray. We need to work that they'll become true biblical leaders and lead in the formation of a new unit when they are brought together in oneness as a couple. But I want you to think with me about loyalty and oneness, loyalty. A man shall leave his father and mother. They shall be one flesh. Don't forget the next part. He will cleave unto his wife. I think it might even be Mr. Vine who uses the idea that they will be glued together. Stickability. Mr. Vine didn't make that word. I made that word up. There will be that commitment. There will be that loyalty to one another. Cleaving to one another. Such that she will have no doubt that he's ever going to go back to the first woman in his life, his mother. And that she will have no doubt that he's ever going to leave for any other woman in his life. Be it a woman that he has met, or a woman that he could see virtually, or speak to virtually. She will have absolutely no doubt he has left all others, and he is cleaving. He is committed. He is fully committed to me. So this is not something that happens to people. This is not some kind of an emotional thing that comes over a guy when suddenly he just, you know, kind of zombie. He's just so overcome that he is now consumed with it. Wow, that was a bit heavy duty. So taken up with her. And that's not the idea at all. It's the idea that the man makes a choice. I am coming your direction. I am leaving all others. I'm committed to you. I will cleave. Last weekend, our brother gave us great ministry. Remember what happened there? What did Ruth do? Cleaving. I'm not where you go, I'm going. All out. You say, does the Bible really teach that? Go to the New Testament. What does it say about deacons and elders? It says they should be one woman, a man of one woman. Eyes for no one else, heart for no one else, life for no one else. Physically speaking, you understand. But this is actually, cleave is something really passionate. I like sometimes tracing how a word is used because that's helpful to understand it. And I came across that word. Remember that man called Eliezer, the son of Dodo? I don't think I'd give my father's name out. But there he was, Eliezer. And what did he do? You remember he took the sword. And he fought with the Philistines. And when the day was over, the sword was stuck in his hand, or his hand was stuck around the sword. Josephus in his Antiquities talks about men who were in battle for so long that it's kind of gruesome. Sorry to wake you up with this, but before you have your supper, but that the blood would congeal and it would be glued to their hand. See, that's the idea here. That kind of all-out commitment. Our world knows nothing about it. Christian marriages, we are called to that kind of cleaving, that kind of loyalty. So there's no question. Emotionally, physically, every aspect, absolute commitment, loyalty to one another. Get this now. Leading up to oneness. All those characteristics. Leaving in oneness. Leadership in oneness. Loyalty in oneness. Let me close by just mentioning the lastingness. That's actually a word. I looked it up. The lastingness of oneness. Kind of liked it. Lastingness. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. He shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be. Shall be. I'm looking at some men here today. Remember back in the days, you were Mr. Romantic? You were all out for her. Came the day where you said goodbye to Mom, Pa. And you started, and you moved into the relationship. You were following God's pattern. And you enjoyed oneness, and you were coming closer. Oh yeah, there was a physical part as well, but see, there's only one direction in this verse. Could I ask all of us, starting with the marriage that is represented right in front of you, so far in 2019, are you moving closer? Have you moved closer? Has it stopped? Are you moving away? It's time to go back to God's plan. Come to see what God says. That's why you say, well, what if we've kind of moved away a bit? Or what if we've moved away a lot? Is there hope? There's always hope in the Bible. Go back to the plan. Get back to God's word. Get back to God's model. Invest yourself in personal communion with God. Invest yourself in communication with your spouse. Invest yourself in working together, especially to serve God. Invest yourself in recommitting and committing yourself and making it very clear your committal, and you enjoy the comfort. They shall be. The Lord Jesus says, I would like to just clarify that one more time, as he did with so many things in the law. He adds something there that you don't have in Genesis. He says, wherefore, I want you to know what God has joined together. Let not man put asunder. This is so, oneness is so serious. After all, what does it picture? Remember the church? Which is his bride will be united with Christ, and we will enjoy oneness, a beautiful spiritual oneness with Christ that we can't even find the words to describe. God says, that's what you're picturing. I don't want you to ever destroy anything that has to do with a picture of my son. Let not man put it asunder. Don't divide it. Oneness and marriage. When you think of young people here today, or single people who are even older, I can't think for you, as you look forward in God's will, if you enter a relationship, what would happen? What would happen? I'm going to talk to the young sisters here now for a moment. What would happen if there was a young man, single man, and he was a man who enjoyed a personal relationship with God? He was good, he was open, he was transparent in his communication with you. And you could enjoy working together with him in all aspects that God has put in your life. And you could be comfortable with him. And he would commit his whole life, his rest of his life to you. Would you want that kind of marriage? You could take the most ungodly person in our world and they would say, sign me up. That's God's plan. You take some sister who's been in a relationship. Things have gone wrong at some point. I have to believe God's plan. That the responsibility I would have, if that were me, would be to go back. God help me. What would happen to a Christian woman who has been hurt, is disillusioned, angry, bitter, How could anything be changed in that relationship to enjoy oneness again? It's funny, God doesn't come up with a plan B for those situations. The Lord Jesus says the plan still works. The way to change a relationship and to build oneness has to be that I give myself to my personal relationship, God, with my communication with my wife, my working with my wife, comfort with my wife, commitment to my wife, until she is so... She's saying, there's nobody like John Dennison. I'd love to be with him the rest of his life. Let us not underestimate God's plan. It's the most beautiful plan. It could not be better. What would make a difference in the assemblies that are represented here? For the next 20 years, what difference would it make if we had oneness, true oneness and all of its fulfillment in Scripture, oneness among couples? What if all the single people here were prepared and entered relationship and were interested in this kind of oneness? Pretty exciting to think of the prospect. May God help us all to be humble as we are. Let the Spirit guide us and recommit to God's plan of oneness, true oneness among a Christian couple. May God bless his word.